Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for this day, and Lord, we rejoice in your presence. Lord, as we're mindful of this day, Palm Sunday, 2,000 years ago, when you rode victoriously into Jerusalem, you proclaimed by the people there, King of the Jews. Lord, we proclaim you today as King of our lives, King of our families, King of our nation, King of everything that we set our hand to do. And we pray right now for Pastor John as he brings forth this message about friendship. Lord, may it drive a spike deep in our hearts. May we look for the opportunity to befriend people, maybe those that are lonely, those that don't have friends. Lord, that your kingdom would continue to be expanded. Lord, we give you thanks for this morning. Bless this time. Bless this word, we ask. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Well, if you've been here, you know that over the past couple months, we've been talking about fulfilling God's purpose in our life. And the last 2 weeks, specifically, I talked about how unity actually helps us to do that, how through unity we sort of can find ourselves and be able to fulfill our purpose, you know, as we walk in that unity. And that's the only way we can do it, in fact. And as Christians, we always need to remember that unity is one of the key parts of God's plan. It's one of his overriding purposes in his will. And he tells us right in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, that God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. And what was that will? To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Right there on that banner. We bring that up a lot. We talk about that a lot because that's what God is looking for. God is always working. He's always working to try to bring his family together. God's always wanted a people, and he wants to bring this people, his family, together. I know I myself, you know, as a father, I love it when all my kids and their kids, my grandkids, and my mom who's still around, we all come together. We get together on holidays, and those are very special days for me. When we just, you don't have to do anything, really. You can just hang out, sit around, you eat, you know, you talk, you just, there's no rush. You just spend the time together as a family. And it feels good to be with your family. And one of the ways that God helps us to walk in his will and in his purpose is to grow together in unity through this friendship, this unity, this family type of thing that God wants for us. And a true friend, when you have true friends, as God is to us, then a true friend will always want the best for you. They should. And what could be better, what better goal, what better purpose could there be for any one of us than to be walking in God's will? We may not think that all the time, but that's really the best thing for us. That's walking in and becoming the person that God designed us to be. So what I want to do today is take a look at some of the qualities of a friend and see how, you know, these qualities actually can help us on our quest, on our journey to become all that God designed us, created us to be. But before I go any further, first thing I want to say is how important it is for us to have friends. It really is. I mean, we may not think so all the time, but the truth is we were never meant to be alone. God said it right in his word. It's not good to be alone. And you see, he was in that instance, he brought, you know, Eve to Adam, but it serves the same purpose all the way around. Nobody was designed to be alone. God didn't put us in isolation. He didn't bring us down here to live in a cave or to live on an island all alone. He created us to be, the word would be interdependent. Not independent, where we're alone. Not dependent, where we're always depending on other people and where that old victim mentality that's all around us. But interdependent, where we need one another. We all need one another. Our Creator designed us that way, to need one another. And what better way to fulfill that need of being with others than to have friends? So let's look at some of the qualities of a friend. The first thing I want to talk about, just briefly in all these different things, is acceptance. Before we could ever have a friend, we have to be able to accept somebody or admit them into our little realm. Because we're sort of like the king of our realm, aren't we? Or the queen of our realm. And, you know, we allow in who we want. And so we need to be able to have this accepting, hospitable kind of way where we allow people in. It tells us in Romans 15:7, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. See, God accepted us in spite of all our faults and all our failures. Christ accepted us. He brought us in to his family. And now he's saying, I want you to do the same thing with other people. I didn't just save you for yourself. I saved you because I want you to be part of something bigger, and I want you to bring in more. So we have to be accepting. If we can't accept people and allow them into our lives, how will we ever even have a chance to start relationships, to build new friendships? So we have to accept people. And sometimes at first, it might seem awkward. Maybe they just seem like they're a totally different kind of person. They're not my kind of person. They're not. They don't think like me. They don't talk like me. They don't look like me. They don't act like me. So what? So what? Sometimes it opens up a whole new vista, a whole new, you know, area that we've never known about when we bring somebody else into our life that we never knew before. The only reason we love God is because he first loved us, right? He reached out to us in all our glorious sin, and there was plenty of it, and he made a way for us to be accepted through the death of his son, Jesus. So he had to do quite a bit of stuff to get us to that point, you know, sending his son, you know, down to die for us so that we could be accepted. He made a way so that he could accept us. And now he wants us to have that same kind of attitude. I'm going to make a way where I can accept people into my life. Most of it probably weren't all that lovable, but a true friend will accept us however we are, whatever condition we're in, just like Jesus accepted us in whatever condition we were in. A true friend cares about where somebody is in their life, what's going on in their life, what condition they're in, and, you know, I want to help them. We should want to help them get to a better place. If you got a friend and they really care about you and they find out you're going through some real turmoil, you would hope that friend would say, what can I do? Or maybe they don't even ask. Maybe they just jump right in and do it. Whatever our current state is, it doesn't matter. Even if we're grumpy or mean or hormonal or sick or broke or depressed or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. A true friend will accept us in that state and be there for us. They should be. And then this leads into the next thing, which is loyalty or faithfulness. A true friend is loyal and they're faithful. There's something very comforting knowing that you have somebody out there who, if you have to, you can call them and they'll respond right away. I was thinking about a friend of mine who I don't really see that often, especially in the last maybe a year or so. I haven't seen him all that often, but he's still a good friend of mine. He's a professional. He's a doctor, in fact. And we became pretty close back years ago. And so we've always maintained that relationship. And I hadn't seen him for a few months. And one day he was out in St. Clair Shores, and his car broke down. And he needed a ride, and he needed to first stop off at a marina to get some, because he had a boat out there and he had to put some stuff there, and he was stuck out there, and he called me up and asked me if I would come out. And I did. And he said, You know, we got in the car and he started driving and he says, you know, he goes, I didn't know who to call. He says, I thought to myself, how can I possibly ask somebody to do this? And he says, then I thought of you. And he says, I think John's probably, even though we don't see each other that often, he goes, I sort of consider you my best friend. And he said, so I thought I would call you. And he just really thanked me for coming out there. And it's just the idea that, you know, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn here or anything like that. I'm just trying to say that, you know, here he didn't even know, like, he's a good guy, but he doesn't really have that many friends. He's had so many responsibilities, taking care of his mother and his brother who's disabled and different things like that. He hasn't had time to develop relationships, but we got to know one another, and he started thinking, and he needed a friend. And thank God, I didn't think it was anything big deal. I just went out there and got him. But to him, that was a big deal. Sometimes when we do something for someone like that, we may not think of it as that big of a deal because we're doing it for Christ. We're doing it because God just puts that in us. But that can make a tremendous impact on somebody's heart, somebody's life. I don't know how many times over the years I've needed help. A lot of times. And I was able to call different people and ask them if they could help me out. And to get that help to rescue me from whatever situation I was in. Sometimes God just puts a friend out there that we don't even know. He just, in out of the blue, you know, like I know I shared this story one time before when we ran out of gas because we were going up a hill, and I had just enough to get to the gas station. As we were going up the hill on the exit, it didn't work out right. And we ran out of gas going up the hill. And I said, oh, man, I'm going to have to go out there and hitchhike now, you know, to get some gas. And God sent me a temporary friend. We got in the car, started talking up a storm. The guy took me right to the gas station, says, do you need a gas can? And he said, I got one in my trunk. And he pulled it out. He filled it up for me. And he says, I'll take you back to your car. We talked on the way. We started finding a couple similar things. And then he dropped me off. He had to go all the way down to the next exit just so he could come back around and drive up that exit. He didn't even want me to have to walk down 100 feet to the thing. So here was this guy I'd never met in my life before, and I felt like this bond with him because he was so kind to me. And God just, it was like God sent an angel, like a temporary friend. Proverbs 17:17 tells us that a friend loves at all times. And I was going to say, not when it's convenient. You know, because anybody can be a friend when it's easy. But what about when it's hard? And too many people, especially in the world, are what we call fair-weather friends. When there's nothing in it for them, they're not around anymore. Especially back in high school, you remember that? Good buddies until you ran out of money, you didn't have a car anymore, and all of a sudden they weren't around. A loyal or faithful friend will put aside their needs or their desires so they can help you. When they know you're in need, they'll just put aside what they were supposed to do to help you. One of the greatest feelings in the world is when you know you're in a tight jam and you call up somebody and they say, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Or don't worry, I'll be right there, I'll be there for you. And it's just like, oh, all that weight gets, you know, lifted off your shoulders. Another quality of a true friend is sacrifice. Somebody who would sacrifice something of theirs, whether it's time or money or possessions or sleep or whatever it is. But they're willing to sacrifice. Romans 12:1 tells us to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. God has called us to give our lives to Him, to serve Him. And think about it. In what way would God most often have us serve Him? It's serving His people. I mean, we can't literally go out and get God a sandwich. We can't pick Him up when His car breaks down. I mean, but His people, the body of Christ, He wants us to serve them. So it works the same way, that when we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, I know there's a whole different meaning to that with, you know, with God. We're giving ourselves to God. We're offering our whole life to Him as a living sacrifice. But that same sacrificial attitude is there, not only that we give it to Christ, but we give it to the people of God. He wants us to do that. True friendship requires sacrifice. It requires, a lot of times, a lot of things that we may not necessarily want to do, but we do it because it's our friend. It's people that, you know, that we're in relationship with. So, and this sacrifice, when we do that, also what it does a lot of times is it builds a bond. It builds a relationship. It actually, sometimes by stepping out and giving even maybe more than we ever expected, we do that for somebody, and now you have this deeper relationship. It builds strength in that relationship. When we put out for somebody, when we really, you know, do beyond, we go beyond, and it builds something into that relationship. Imagine when God called Abraham. Remember when he had to go up to the mountain? And God called him up there to sacrifice his one and only son? Now, that was a sacrifice. I mean, that would not have been easy, but God called Abraham to do it. And God, and Abraham was faithful. He was loyal. And he was going through with it. He was going to do it until God sent an angel to stop him, because God really wasn't going to have him kill his son. See, God knew that all along. Abraham didn't know what was going to happen. He knew that he had a promise that, you know, his son was somehow going to, you know, be part of a huge, you know, giant family that was going to, you know, spread out all over the earth. So he knew his son had to live somehow, but he didn't know how. Maybe God will bring him back. I don't know what's going to happen, but if God called me to do this, and so he was literally ready to sacrifice him when an angel stopped him. See, God was testing Abraham. He was testing him to see, was he willing to make that sacrifice for God? Sacrifice the thing that was dearest to him, his own son, to prove his friendship. That'd be a tough one, wouldn't it? And now in James 2:23, what does it say about Abraham? It says that he was called God's friend. He became God's friend. God loved him so much because he was faithful, he was loyal, he was willing to sacrifice. How would you like to have your name in the Bible and be known as God's friend for all time? It's easy. Just go sacrifice your son or something, you know? No, it's not that easy. But it's an honor for him to be known for all time as the father of the faith, as a friend of God. Another thing that a true friend will do is share his heart with you and allow you to share yours. Not hiding things from one another, but just looking to share. You know, something happens and right away you're on the phone, you call up, hey, guess what just happened, you know? And it's not easy to open up to someone and share your deepest feelings with them. You know, there's a lot of, in the world we live in, there's a lot of cynicism, there's a lot of mistrust, there's a lot of doubts, fears, all these reasons, and maybe we've been burned before. But when we have a true friend, we begin to realize, and through stages, we probably learn to open up more and more, and we begin to feel safe with that person, and we open up to them. Some people, unfortunately, like to get information and use it against people, or use it for their own advantage. That's not a friend. A real friend is, keeps confidences. And a real friend is not afraid of the intimacy that allows two people to speak together face to face. When we become friends, the fear is gone of sharing. And it says in Exodus 33:11 that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. God was not afraid to talk to Moses. God knew that Moses was a man of integrity, a loyal, faithful man who would sacrifice for God, who would do whatever needed to be done to preserve that friendship. So God would speak to Moses face to face as a friend. Wow. Wow. That's pretty amazing. Sometimes just being able to open up and talk to a friend is the best therapy in the world. It's called building a relationship, building a friendship. It's a good thing for husbands and wives to try. Opening up, sharing, and talking. Another thing a true friend does, and this can be a hard one, is to correct or rebuke in love. How many people like rebuking their friends? Nobody, right? Oh, Darren does. Darren does. You know, it's funny that, you know, he raised his hand, whether joking or not, but I had no instances where he has. And I actually commended him because he called me up and told me about some different times he's talked to people and told me the whole situation and the story, and I was proud of him. He wasn't afraid of being shut down. And see, that's the concern is the counterattack, right? Or the Cold War after that. But when you really care about somebody, you're doing them a service. If you're a true friend, you will correct them or rebuke them if you need to, but in love, in love. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 is better is open rebuke than hidden love. What good is it to love somebody but never show it? Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. It's the old iron sharpening iron thing, you know? God put us together for a reason. And a true friend will do that. Hey, man, why'd you do that? That was dumb, man. You shouldn't have done that. You know, I bet you hurt her feeling. I bet you messed up, you know, and they'll tell you. And if it's a real friend, you just take it, right? Hopefully. Hopefully. In the book of Corinthians, we find that even if we did all these things, even if we did all those things I already talked about, there's still something else, one more quality that is essential for somebody to be considered a true friend. And it's one word, I could say it. Does anybody know what that word is? Love. Somebody said it. That's it. The more excellent way, right? It says in Proverbs 17:17, a true friend loves at all times. Isn't that nice? Isn't that sweet? A true friend loves at all times. According to 1 Corinthians 13:7, it says that love is patient, kind, doesn't envy, boast. You know all those. We've seen them. Doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. I like the part where it says, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is the kind of friend we want, isn't it? Don't you want a friend that protects you, that trusts you, that hopes in the best for you, that's always there for you? I want to be that kind of friend, but I have to say, I can't do it that good. Can you? Can you do all those things all the time? Man, I wish I could. I mean, I try. I'm sure many of you try, but are we always patient? Do we never envy? Do we never boast? We're never proud? We're never self-seeking? We're never angered? We never keep a record of wrongs? I mean, these are all the things that love. So it's pretty hard to do that, but we try, right? There's one person that I do know, though, that fits the bill. Guess what his name is? Jesus. Yes, you know. Jesus, you know what? Did you know that he wants to be your friend? He really does. He literally wants to be your friend. He has proved his true friendship in every one of those areas that we already discussed. I chose those areas in particular, and although there are many, many more, but every one of those areas that I talked about, those were key areas of friendship. And I also found that in every one of those areas, Jesus proved those areas in his own way, in his own self, that that's how he relates to us. He will accept you today. We talked about acceptance. Jesus will accept you today wherever you are in your life. It doesn't matter how terrible you are, how terrible you've been, whatever you've done, Jesus will accept you. The Pharisees, when they were talking about Jesus, and they were trying to cut him down all the time, right? You remember that? And you know what they said? He's a friend of drunkards and sinners. That was a compliment. They didn't know it. They thought they were knocking him down because, oh,
one of us, we wouldn't hang out with a sinner. Because we're perfect. We're the perfect Pharisees.
The perfect hypocrites. That's the only thing they were perfect at. They were perfect hypocrites. Matthew 11:19, it said that he was a friend of sinners. So we should be real happy because that means he can be our friend. We also find that he's faithful. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "When we are faithless, he remains faithful. Because for he cannot disown himself." In other words, that's just what he is. In fact, in Revelation 19:11, it says that his name is faithful and true. He can't disown who he is, what he is. He is faithfulness. That's like God is love. God is faithful. God is loyal. God is loving. I mean, that's just, so this is what he is. He can't deny himself. He can't disavow himself because it's who he is. That's our Jesus, a true, loyal friend. He speaks to us through his word. Another thing he does to correct and rebuke us. See, he's not afraid. Jesus is not afraid to rebuke us, correct us. He does it in love, but he does it. And he does it through the conviction of his Holy Spirit. In fact, that's how we first got saved, when the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sin. Jesus is the friend who will love us through our sin all the way to the other side and keep loving us through a life of failures and problems and all these different things that we've done, we do wrong. He keeps on loving us right through that. He leads us through and he brings us all the way through into maturity. That's his goal, to bring us there, to mature us, to help us to grow, not to leave us in the dust. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, remember. He started it when his Spirit convicted us. And now he's working, he's sanctifying us, he's bringing us through this process, and he's going to finish the work. Of course, ain't going to really be done until we're dead, but, you know, he's bringing us along on that path. As we give over more and more of our life, as we cast aside our flesh, and we have more and more of the Holy Spirit, we continue to grow and mature and become more and more like Christ. We go from glory to glory. Another thing that Jesus does is he speaks to us, like heart to heart. John 15:15, he says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. But instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." See, Jesus, again, through the Holy Spirit, through his word, sometimes even through dreams or visions, but in all these different ways, he is constantly trying to share his heart with you. His concerns, his desires, his love. He tries to warn us. He tries to protect us. He tries to do everything he can possibly do to help us because he is a true friend. His word is like a love letter to us, from the best friend we could ever have. And he speaks, we're told constantly in the Word, he speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, what does he do? He guides us. He comforts us. He leads us. He reminds us of what was said. So he's constantly sharing his heart with us. just like a true friend
should.
Everything Jesus does, everything he's done, proves how much he loves us. Because a friend loves at all times, remember. It says in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And there again, he's saying, we're his friends. Over and over. Romans 8:39 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from our friend's love. That's what he's telling us. I'm your buddy, I'm your friend. Of course, he's more than that. I don't want to demean him in any way because he is Lord, he is King, he is God, but he also wants to be our friend. And finally, Christ has proven his friendship and his love towards us through his sacrifice. And the sacrifice wasn't just on the cross. In reality, the sacrifice began the day he left his throne in heaven. He put aside, in a sense, his godhood and came down and became a man. Became a human being. Became a little baby. Had to completely trust other people to take care of him. Kings out there trying to assassinate him, you know, destroy all the babies. A lot of danger. And he put himself in that position. And he purposely came. He purposely came for the reason to sacrifice himself, to go to that cross, to die for us, so he could lay down his life for his friends. The beatings, the torture, the humiliation, the pounding of those nails into his hands, all those things. He did all of that so he could have a relationship with us. Think about that. How far would we be willing to go to allow someone to come into our realm and allow them to become our friend? Jesus went so far that he literally took nails in his hands and feet, crown of thorns on his head, skin ripped to shreds from cat and nine tails, beatings, humiliation, being spit upon, rejected, beaten and bruised, so he could be our friends. So we could be his friends, and obviously for salvation, so he could bring us into the family, so he could bring us into heaven, so that we could all be joined together. All under one head, Christ Jesus, just like up there. And on top of that, not only did he take that physical pain and suffering right then, the part that always gets me is that he also took the pain, the suffering, and the punishment that would have been inflicted upon millions and millions and millions of people that would have been destined for hell, or that were actually destined for hell. But he rescued us. He purchased us. He redeemed us from that certain death because he's such a good friend. Can we live up to that standard? Man, I can't. It's amazing what he did for us. His love for us, his friendship towards us, his desire to be together with us. God so much wants a people. He wants a family. He wants a people who love him for who he is, of their own free will. That's who God is. Such a loving, wonderful God. All because of his great love. One day everything that we have is going to be gone. Everything. It's all going to pass away. And all of our friends, in fact, all of our earthly friends will pass away. And there's only one friendship that will remain. And you know who it is. He's the only friend who can hold your hand as you walk through the door of death into eternity. He's the only friend that you'll need on the day of judgment because he's constantly been interceding for you. And on that day, he'll be able to say, nope, he's covered. My friend is covered. My blood's already paid his debt. He's a true friend who wants to bring you home safely, to come back to be part of the family. And just think of the family you're going to meet, all these, man, you are connected to a lot of people, not just your earthly family. Someday you're going to be able to say hello to, if Eddie was here, Brother David, to his brother King David. You're going to be able to meet all these people. And how many people will we then be able to welcome in that we our lives touched? And they'll come and they'll say, you were a friend to me. Jesus has always been there waiting for us. And even now, he is still waiting for us. He's extending his hand as a friend. The same hand that had a stake pounded right through it. Come on and be my friend. I'll be your friend. He wants us to know. He wants you to know that you have a friend in Jesus. The greatest friend you would ever have. So if I could have the prayer team come forward. Let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you so much for your friendship. We thank you, Lord, that you have put that ability in us to be friends, to be friends with one another, to love one another, to do all these things. Lord, we know we're not perfect, but we know we're forgiven. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be friends with one another so we can work and function and operate together in unity, Lord God. I pray that we would be accepting that we could welcome new friends into our midst, Lord God. That we would be loving and sacrificing, that we would be there, that we would be loyal and faithful. That we would be all these things that we need to be as a friend, Lord. I pray that you would build that into us, that we might welcome more and more and more friends and help them to come to be a part of the family of believers. Lord, that we might help to build the kingdom of God, that we might help others to get to know you. Lord, use us. Use us to be friendly to all those that we would meet so that we can share our faith, that we can share our friend, Jesus Christ, to the whole world, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much for being our friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. In the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back. I know you are near, and I will feel